proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. We continue looking at the opening chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes and how the preacher described his efforts to find fulfillment through earthly things. First, he sought to increase his store of knowledge. He wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, quote, "I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly," unquote. Now, the acquisition of wisdom does not in and of itself constitute a sinful endeavor. After all, God filled Joshua with the spirit of wisdom, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 34. According to the fourth chapter of 1 Kings, God granted Solomon, quote, "wisdom and understanding, exceeding much." According to Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon advised his son to, quote, "get wisdom, get understanding," unquote. In the first chapter of James' epistle in the New Testament, that author counseled his readers that, quote, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him," unquote. Yet wisdom and knowledge do not necessarily come from God. The third chapter of James' epistle described that type of wisdom which engenders strife as being, quote, "earthly, sensual, devilish," unquote. He contrasted it with, quote, "the wisdom that is from above," unquote, which in James' words was, quote, "first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy," unquote. In the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, the preacher concluded that, quote, "in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow," unquote. At the conclusion of his treatise, the preacher noted that, quote, "much study is a weariness of the flesh," unquote. Note that the author of Ecclesiastes did not criticize anyone who sought for knowledge, per se. Rather, he criticized those who allowed that venture in and of itself to become their major priority in life. Some people might advocate acquiring knowledge as a means of survival, as a way to adapt to life's changing circumstances. Yet such an attitude often leaves out accounting for the providence of God. God grants knowledge to individuals according to his sovereign will and to serve his own purposes. Consider the way in which he dealt with Job in the final chapters of that book. God repeatedly asked that protagonist, quote, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" unquote. God challenged Job over the latter's understanding of the elements of creation. God referred to Job's ignorance about creatures such as unicorn, behemoth, leviathan. In the face of such divine questions, Job acknowledged his own limited understanding of life, admitting that he had, quote, "uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not," unquote. God reserves to himself the prerogative of granting or withholding knowledge from the human race. As Daniel stated in the second chapter of his book, God, quote, "revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him," unquote. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher came to recognize that obtaining knowledge, apart from the will of God, attaining knowledge would prove unproductive. Bitter experience taught him that lesson, and he used the book of Ecclesiastes to pass on what he had learned through experience. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.